sooner or later. Matt Carney begins now.
So, Tausch, do they look as sloppy to you as Matt LaFleur has used that word so many times? He used it again yesterday. Have they looked sloppy to old Sloppy Joe T?
Not as much. I mean, I think you look at the beginning of the season, there are more penalties, definitely more turnovers, and I think they've cleaned a lot of that stuff up. Now, how they're executing and, you know, finishing things and, you know, running routes at the right depth and hitting landmarks with your blocks and things like that, I mean, you see a little bit of it. I think last weekend and that Sunday game against the Bears, I don't take a ton of stock, and I understand why coaches do, but they didn't fully commit to what they were going to do. And I think Matt LaFleur will learn a great lesson with when next year when this team is really humming and they have to decide how they want to approach it. You're either going to say you're not playing or you're playing. There's none of this, let's get off to a big lead and then pull people. Didn't work. And that gives you that bad vibe. Obviously, the Viking game, anybody think they look sloppy in the end of the third quarter, fourth? And I know people will say, well, Minnesota was playing prevent and all this. Maybe. But they still went out and executed. And but the last 2 weeks, it has not looked as good. I can't sit here with a straight face. And even in the New Orleans Saints game, like, New Orleans stinks. Uh-huh. They're bad. Now, I know they almost beat Tampa. I don't know what that tells you about Tampa. But Green Bay didn't even play great, and they still absolutely trucked them on offense. Mm-hmm. The defensively, they obviously shut down a really bad team. So I don't have the same – and that's why I came out Monday, and you were, oh, what, Mr. Positivity, blah, 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 blah. I don't think this team is in as bad of straits as other people do. I just don't. And if you want to say Homer, old T, whatever, that's great, fine. I don't believe that their passing game is where it needs to be. I think every other phase of their team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and Dova is telling me the same thing. Dova is the best Dova that this team has had. Defensive, whatever that
Dark's only value analytics.
But their numbers are pretty doggone good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Turning the football over, getting after the quarterback, you know, scoring defense. And obviously McManus, who you just talked about for 20 minutes, all of that stuff is better. So the group is not, it's not like we're hairy high school in it. We're not having a bunch of false starts, a bunch of sloppy penalties. You got to clean some stuff up, and I am concerned, is this passing game going to be good enough to beat a really good defense? That is why I'm very hesitant to pull the trigger and say, we're good. We're going to find – it's going to have to – you're going to have to create some things, I do believe, to score enough points to beat Philly.
All right. I am curious, though, by some, and Jesse actually
well,
has a
well, do you think they're sloppy?
I do. I think they're missing things by these kind of small margins, right? Whether it's
like what
the one that stands out the most is the fourth down throw that Love makes to Jaden Reed, and Jaden Reed, the ball's farther out in front of him than he expects it, but he should still catch it. He should still catch it. But Jordan Love did not put the ball where it needed to be. That's one example, right? And but I thought that was kind of the perfect example because, as you well know more than anyone, having played 11 years in the league, when they say it's a game of inches, it really is. And that small difference can often be the difference between winning a game and not. I mean, think back to the Vikings game. If they complete that and go in and score, you're feeling totally different about where they're at. They don't have to score 15 points in the last 10 minutes or whatever it is to pull within two. They're in the game again. And there's a confidence on the sideline, and you're, all right, let's go. We're rolling now. And instead, they lose the ball on downs. You know, the fumble by Josh Jacobs didn't cost them. They didn't turn it into points, but it ruined their opening drive. Right. Yeah. And it instead of going up 7-0 and being like, that's why we took the ball, it's, oh, man. And Josh Jacobs said it himself. He felt it suck the energy out of the offense, and he felt terrible.
Well, you got to – And that's part of being a good team is being able to overcome that. It happens. The best teams have that, and that's where I think people that are questioning this team is, do they have that in them? Are they there yet? Are they mature enough to be able to overcome that stuff? Because I've never seen a team, I don't care, I didn't watch the 72 Dolphins season. It's the only perfect season ever, and I'm guessing they had to change quarterbacks. They had adversity they had to overcome. Every team has it. You have to find different ways, and when you do, you start believing more. And I tell this story all the time. I've always had a strong belief that we would win every home game. Favre, Rodgers, didn't matter. It was, I just felt we're going to win. And there were other games where you're on the road. You know, playing on the road's tough. It's a tougher task. But I always felt that we're going to win these games. And then the 2005 season came. And you stay positive. We lose to the Browns at home. We're 0-2, and everything's spiraling. And we go down to Chicago in December, and we're 3-0. I don't know what we're, 3-11, whatever it is. And we run, I think we ran around 100 plays. We had the ball the whole blanking game. But it was, oh, blank, what's going to happen next? You have, that's just, and you can tell guys, well, fight through it and do it. The good teams do. I've been on plenty of teams. We started off 1-4 and never a waiver. Yeah, we'll figure it out. That season, for whatever reason, we didn't, and we allowed that to become the narrative of our season. We stunk, and coaches got fired and everything else. This team right now, the narrative is, yeah, they're good. It's a plucky little squad. But, yeah, they're just not tough enough to win the tough battles when it's needed. When a big play is needed, it's not there. That right now, if this goes the way Vegas picks it, the narrative of this season, oh, good season, but they're not ready. They're not there yet.
Some might say a year
away.
That
can all change. That can all change with one playoff win. And right now the mentality is we're almost kind of waiting to see who's going to step up and make that play. I don't know. But somebody has to. And when they do, you got to run with it. And right now in these big games, there's been, well, whippy-nippy up a throw and a pick, and Detroit goes and scores before the half at Lambeau. Well, he's in the back of the end zone. That was St. Louis, the Rams. He fires it up, and whippy-nippy up, just fire it up. Those plays are what kill you. Yeah, he's whipping it around. Detroit, he does the same thing in a screen pass.
Are you trying to think of willy-nilly?
Whippy-nippy.
Do you want to take over? The bottom line is you make those mistakes, and we as a group have not been mature enough to overcome it. That's part of this football team this season.
Yeah,
and that narrative passes over, and you say, well, yeah, it's a good season, 11-6, pretty good, young team, but that's what gets you beat in the first round of the playoffs. What doesn't is you say, I've had enough of this blank. We're going to make that play. We're gonna dictate this, and that's why I've been so hard on Matt LaFleur. He has to lead that. I don't want him, and I'm not going to go on that rant again, but that's why I don't want him, because you look at your coach. And if your coach is calm and saying, we're going to overcome this, we're going to be fine, the players will buy that. If your coach is firing flags down on the ground and he's challenging things because he's all irritated, everybody else is ramped up that way too. And that's why I thought people are getting after me. Oh, you're really careless. He's so emotional. I want him to be emotional. I want him to control it. And it can't be everything, because you overcome that by being calm and steady when you need it. And when you're all blah, 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 oh, you know, Tommy boy squeezing it, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And that's all part of this evolution that I think this team needs to have. And unfortunately, they need to have it in 3 days. And if they don't, it's going to be like, well, they better figure that out for next season. That's where we're at.
Yeah. You don't want your coach to be on the sideline being all whippy-nippy. I want you to hear what LaFleur said about practice, because I thought Jesse had a really, really good question in the rundown, which you may or may not have looked at, in relation to his response.
Once that quote wasn't ready in the first segment, I just said, well, Jesse didn't look at the rundown. What the hell do I need?
I have reviewed the show sheet, and I actually did say I had Matt LaFleur audio ready in the 9 o'clock hour, Jordan Love.
Yep, you're right. You are right. You're right. But
Tausch.
Here is the clip of Matt LaFleur talking about what practice was like on Wednesday.
Matt, without seeing the film of practice today, did the tweaks that you talked about on Monday to try and kind of eliminate some of the sloppiness, did you feel like those worked? Did you feel good about kind of what you...
Yeah, I thought it was... it's never going to be perfect. There's always going to be things that you need to clean up, but I think the emphasis is on the detail and just playing with great fundamentals, pad level. If you go back to the last time we played these guys, we had... Some costly mistakes, be it penalties, playing with poor fundamentals, or there are a couple plays defensively where we didn't get aligned right, and that really hurt us. So it's just getting all 11 on the same page, making sure everybody is doing their responsibility to the best of their ability, and playing with great technique, effort, fundamentals, physicality.
Buzzword.
Jason,
yeah, great question. Hey, did you clean up your stuff at practice? And what if he came to you and said, no, we were sloppier than ever? Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, I was expecting him to say, we got a long way to go still. We stink. No, but what I thought was interesting is, and this is why Jesse's question was so good, is that does the practice change? Because you want to be able to say, no, we're giving our best all year long. Doesn't matter if it's week 1 or week 10 or week 17 yep. or whatever it is. But now the stakes are different. And all that stuff that, believe me, my eyes glaze over and I zoom out too when you start talking about pad level. Mike McCarthy loved to talk about pad level. Oh, there you go, our pad level. Yeah. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, is that stuff does matter to coaches. And when you talk about, you know, he mentions misalignments there. Again, that is one of the things that, as awesome as Edger and Cooper is, they put him in the game in Philly, against Philly in the opener, and then he lined up wrong, and Saquon Barkley scored a touchdown as a result. So then they took him out again. And those things do matter. And when you're saying your team is sloppy and you're saying you're going to change practice to do more fundamental stuff and that you've been too walk through E and jog through E and it's caused you to be sloppy, yeah, I wanted to know if the change mattered. And you're right. What's he going to say? No, we're still pretty damn sloppy. I'm really worried about this week.
You're not going to know until you go play, right? So he's going to say what he's going to say, and that's what he said. And
say what
I
you
think
need
everybody
to say.
Glazed over when he said it. So I think coaches get what they emphasize, good coaches. And what's the other part of that saying, Jason?
You also get what you tolerate.
That's coaching. Teach and demand. So you're going to demand. You got to get lined up. You don't want to feel, and this is why I think some of your concerns and maybe why I was more optimistic on Monday, you don't want to feel at playoff time like you're cramming for an ACT. Like if I'm worried 19 weeks into a season after training camp and mini camps and all this other stuff that I'm not 100% sure my guy's going to line up in the right spot, I'm nervous. That's not what I want to hear. Now, if you want to say, well, we got to be – better, we're missing our landmark on a tackle or a block. Okay, that's football. Week 19 shouldn't be about, we still can't quite get lined up. We still are having motion penalties on offense. I don't love that. Obviously, you're a young team and you grow, but I hate to tell you this, boys. Growth isn't linear when it comes to the playoffs. It's time. And there ain't no waiting around or, we'll get better, all this other stuff. It's here. Showtime, baby. You can cram all you want before Sunday, but those curtains are coming open and the lights are going to come on and you're going to get exposed or you're going to showcase yourself. And what you've done over the season hopefully has allowed you to put your best out there on Showtime. And if it's not, Those curtains will go down. There ain't going to be any curtain calls. They're going to be like, scurry out of there and try to load up your junk and move to the next town to do your next performance. And that'll be in August or September of next year.
I don't know what growth isn't linear had to do with anything there, but be that as it may, I want to get to this Christian Watson question. I definitely want to get to Tausch either telling me that I'm an idiot or that I'm right to be thinking that his absence really matters in this game. What does really matter is that when you're making a road trip, we got another one for a volleyball tournament, and you know, because I'll be driving, that we'll stop at least twice on the drive, and both times it'll be at Quick Trip.
Well, Jason's got stuff. We got stuff. You know, life is busy. And you know who gets it? Quick Trip. Whether you're craving that fresh coffee, you're craving a tasty bakery treat, or just a quick grab-and-go meal or snack, Quick Trip is your go-to. Variety, quality, fast service. Quick Trip's team is all about making your day easier and better. Clean restrooms to fresh groceries and everything in between. Quick Trip's got you covered. Plus, they got ATMs. They got free air. Free air? Get your tires filled up with free air. That is a beautiful little perk that they got too. And talked about all the fresh groceries, bananas, jumbo onions, not those little baby onions. They're jumbo. Potatoes for sale. They are back to 29 cents a pound for all of it. They got quick breakfast sausage links, $2.49 for a 12-ounce pack. You get Nature's Touch shredded or block cheese, 2 for $4. Snack pies, 5 for $5. That's exciting, too. And, of course, all the great chicken deals. And soup. It's cold. What's better than having a nice big bowl of warm soup on a cold day? Well, Quick Trip's got you covered with that. $6.99 with soup bags at the Quicker. And you also get Cheese Mountain Pizza on special today and Friday, $6.99 for thin crust, $9.99 for specialty crust. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything I just mentioned. What a place. They got everything you could look for. Order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip. We'll see you next time.
The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. Jeez.
What?
Covered
what do you want? Quick
Trip's
got a lot of stuff, man. Do they not have a lot of great stuff?
They do.
They do.
They do. I want to get to
the
Christian
Watson. The air is my favorite part.
Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't even talk about the great chicken deals that they got. I mean, I do that usually on Mondays and Wednesdays.
Sure.
It's still there. Yeah.
Chicken.
Still there.
Chicken. Christian Watson. Next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Been known to be overly dramatic.
Oh. Oh. You think?
Now I have one of each of you there.
I see has already made the gif of yours, so I'm glad I can contribute to that. But am I being overly dramatic about what the absence of Christian Watson could mean to the Packers' chances of beating the Eagles on Sunday? Tausch will tell me if I am after we hear what Jordan Love thinks about not having Christian Watson
sure
at his disposal.
I'm sure he's going to say there's no chance.
We might as well
he's always injured, so what's the difference?
Yeah, so we might as well just forfeit, yes.
It sucks, you know, you hurt for Christian, especially at this time of the year, but other guys are going to have to step up. We got a deep receiver room. Guys have kind of done that all year. You know, we've battled through different injuries, guys missing games, things like that. So it's just another situation that guys will step up and make plays, and we're confident in that group.
Next man up, Tausch. Next man up. That's the name of the game.
I wasn't listening. I'm assuming he said we're not even going to get on the flight to Philly because it's over. Right? Is that what he said?
That is. We can check the tape.
So we'll get into the guys
that would be replacing him. But
yeah,
tell me I'm being dramatic.
I think you're being a bit dramatic, but there is no doubt. And I know Jesse disagrees with this premise, but when you're building an offense, you want to kind of have a puzzle where not everybody has the same skill set. There's a corner piece. There's a middle piece. There's some just bland. Oh, that's just the sky pieces. They're maybe sometimes the trickiest to figure out.
It's
all blue,
yeah.
And you're trying to figure that piece out. The standout quarterback, left tackle, and a big-time stretch wideout. That's Christian Watson to me. So I think you're looking at it and saying, well, you can piece it together and you can try and figure some things out, but is it going to be able to – are you going to be able to finish the entire puzzle if you're missing a corner piece? The answer is no. Can you work around it and still get a really good picture of said puzzle? You can. And then maybe you can go find, I don't know if there's a store that sells parts of leftover puzzles that you don't have. Probably be a pretty niche market. Christian Watson is one of those pieces because he'll dictate coverage. He will be somebody that Vic Fangio would have had looked at and said, I remember old boy, and I know he wasn't the coordinator then, but I remember he outran an eagle on a slant or something down the sideline where the guy had the – it's one of the more impressive things I've seen in the NFL. Guy had an angle, and old boy pulled away from him like it was me racing Jesse in a pickleball game. So I think we can look at this big picture and say, well, he's been hurt. He's only got 29 catches. That's fine. You can look at it that way. But I'm telling you, defensive coordinators had to at least acknowledge this cat's speed is different. He is somebody that can make big-time plays. Now, does that mean the offense is going to shut down a kid? No. But you're going to have to find different ways to be explosive because this is not going to be a game that Matt LaFleur is going to feel like we're going to do a bunch of 16-play drives. A, we've been too sloppy to execute that. And B, their defense is too good to allow that. So you better find some chunkage. You better find some chunkage plays. And if you don't, you're not going to beat Philadelphia. And Christian Watson would have been the big chunk when it comes to those opportunities.
We got Jerry out very busy with the GIF machine. All right, I don't understand the me racing, meaning you racing Jesse in a pickleball game. I don't that you mixed like six metaphors there. I don't understand any of them. But the point that you just made, no offense, but I feel like it strengthened my point. Bringing up the play in 2022.
You
said I was probably being dramatic. So I appreciate that because I had forgotten about that play in Philly, the touchdown. Like, that is speed personified. And, again, maybe Bo Melton. We'll talk about Bo Melton. We'll talk about Malik Heath a little bit later. Look, those guys are not going to be – they're going to be part of the plan. But it's the guys that have to make up for Christian Watson not being there are Dontavion Wicks, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, and Romeo Doubs. They're going to have to elevate their games. And we've seen what Tucker Kraft can do when he's on a heater. I'll be curious to see how they defend him. Because you start to take him away, and the Packers' offense, when he's not super involved, not super great.
No.
So we'll see how that plays out. Tausch, are you going to take Tucker Kraft when you play Prize Picks this weekend? Or do you have to wait and see just how high the projection is?
When we do our Prize Picks segment, Prize Picks is fun. Even though I had some struggles over the weekend, there's a lot of good college football coming up. You obviously have a slate of great NFL games. Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars awarded in winnings already. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody, and it is simple to play. More or less, two players can win up to 1,000 times your cash. You can run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Again, it's number one daily fantasy sports app. 1,000 times your money. It offers Prize Picks now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. And you know what? We all have sports opinions. You guys listening to the show, you have sports opinions. You have an idea what the flow of the game is going to be. All right, well, now you can use those sports opinions. Jason thinks that the offense is going to stink because Christian Watson isn't there. Well, you go less. Pick less on some of these fellas. put a little cash in your pocket if that's what. Use those sports opinions and make a little cash, and it turns over 60 seconds to get that. Download the app today. Use code WI. Get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Oh, I screwed that up. My bad. Yeah, it's my bad, dog. My bad.
Well, you could take those winnings and potentially put them in Associated Bank later. So we'll play a little Take It to the Bank a little bit later. But let's talk a little bit about Malik Heath and Bo Melton. Let's do that next, because Bo Melton's really fast. Malik Heath is shaped kind of similarly
to shine.
Christian Watson.
Lay off Bo.
Unfortunately, they're two different people. We'll talk about them next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Before we get to Malik Heath and Bo Melton, playoff Bo, as you like to call him, are the playoffs a time when unlikely heroes can emerge?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I always think of James Starks, right?
Yep.
Who had been PUP'd for much of the year.
I'll say this. There is no doubt they can. They will not take you to where you want to go. Your dogs got to be the dogs. How did we win a championship in 2010-11? Clay Matthews' dog makes a play. B.J. Raji makes a big play down in Chicago. Aaron Rodgers has the game of his life. Greg Jennings, Jordy. So it's not James Starks played a pivotal role. Mm-hmm. Tremont Williams was a dog. He elevated his game. Obviously, Charles. So there are guys that I think will have moments. You need to have moments. Green. Big play. Moment. You're not asking guys to be consistently dominating and doing it, but guys have to have moments to kind of subsidize or to, you know.
Augment.
Augment. The big boys got to do it, right? And that's where this comes. And right now, you ask your question, well, who are the big boys that need to play big boy football? So that some of these, so that the Bo Meltons can shine and have their moment to help augment a championship run. And it's not a hard list to find, because two of the guys are Goody's free agent pickups. They need to be dogs. They need to be their guys, Xavier and Josh Jacobs. Then it's got to be Jordan Love. And then I don't know where else you go. I mean, I think Rashawn Gary's got to elevate and be, he's a Pro Bowl player. He needs to be a big time performer. But right now, if you ask me to beat Philadelphia, who's got to be dogs? Who's got to be the Clay Matthews, the B.J. Rajis, whoever it's going to be that play consistent and make plays? And I'm putting Edgerrin Cooper in that category.
I think he needs
to be that impactful. And I'm not sure he's there yet, because I think there's still questions if he can line up properly. But when he does line up properly, real deal, Holyfield.
So, if you look at last week, the biggest play was delivered offensively by Malik Heath.
He did.
Thrown by Malik Willis. Malik to Malik.
M squared.
It was a freak moment. But what's realistic to expect from Bo? Yeah, it was a push.
When we were at our peak.
It was a reach. But...
just turn the other cheek and move on.
Oh, like that was that much better.
Yeah, you frowned
upon
it, and
then
you wanted to play. Like, that's not fair.
Don't you think that was better than what you guys put out?
Let's hear what Matt LaFleur had to say about Malik Heath and Bo Melton having an impact.
It's looking bleak.
Now that's not bad.
There it is. Winner.
Well, beware of the quarterback sneak. when it comes to Philly.
You had a walk-off, and then you...
No, I didn't.
Just always got to push it one more step.
You guys aren't very sleek.
You're kind of a geek when it comes to this.
Fair.
Here's Matt LaFleur.
I'd like to give you the fleek.
Matt, we saw the play that Malik Heath made in the game on Sunday. How ready are he and Bo to contribute more without Christian available?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, again, those guys approach it the right way. You know, Bo has shown that a year ago in terms of just showing up in big-time games, and he was our first 100-yard receiver. So I think both of those guys are ready for it, and you never, you know, you hate to see what happened to Christian. That's a real kick in the gut for us as a football team, more so for him as a person and as a competitor. But as far as just everybody in that room has got to pick up the slack, you know, whether it's those two guys or, you know, Wicks or Rome or Jay Reed, collectively as a unit, I think we have to do that.
Bo Melton has 8 catches this year, and I love Bo Melton. I mean, I love Bo Melton. He is such a remarkable dude. And we did see him make plays last year in the playoff game, in the Minnesota game. I don't have a good explanation as to why he didn't get more opportunities this season, especially when there were times where you thought, hey, this group could use a little bit of a jolt. So again, what's realistic?
He's playoff Bo.
Well, then Christian Watson's absence will be completely mitigated. And look,
no.
I'd say
playoff
this.
Playoff Bo's not going to be Christian Watson. Like, come on.
Well, if he's playoff Bo, he will be. Right? He'll deliver a big play. He'll deliver a touchdown.
I'll tell you what. If playoff Bo or Malik Heath don't give you something, this Packers team is going to be up blank creek. Crick. Does that still go along with that?
I've literally been
pausing. Like, come on, get to the point, LaFleur. I got this crick that I want to get out there with all my other Maliks.
First of all, it was
sneak, creek.
And you said it wrong.
I know.
And then
it
you
took
go to
too
crick,
long.
Which makes you creek. Kind of a dink.
I don't know what.
No, I'm not going to say it. I don't know the FCC rules there.
I'm looking pretty sleek.
Not according to your mom.
I already used that. Come on, Jesse.
Sorry, it was kind of weak.
Be all bleak. You freak.
I think we already used that one, too. All right.
Game's over.
Let's move on. We need to play trivia.
Game's over. Any catchers with that rhyme with eek? Jim Sundberg.
Nailed it. Jesse, what's today's trivia category? What color do you want?
We are on the cusp, gentlemen, of the greatest football weekend ever, some are
saying.
Yeah,
I'll sign on for that. It's a good weekend.
Starting tonight with the college football playoff semifinals all the way through NFL wildcard game Monday night. The greatest football weekend ever is our trivia category.
All right. Caller number 10, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Is Ohio State
tonight? I just got a note from Big O, and whoever ends up being the trivia contestant, make sure you don't swear on the radio. He just wanted to remind you.
That's good advice.
That's great advice from Big O.
Does that make sense?
Very good advice from Big O.
Caller 10. For trivia, 844-770-3776. We'll play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Madison's new home of Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And the pitch. Hey, struck him out swinging.
100.5 ESPN, your new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Coonan always always trying to help us. How about Mickey Tettleton? Or Bruce Bochy?
He was a catcher.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Bochy. I didn't read the whole thing. He was, yeah. No, it was Bruce Benedict. Still okay. Reach. Let's get to trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants from Coyote Dan to Phoenix Dan to Dan and Brother Teak. Tom.
We could call Teak. Maybe he's got some answers, too.
Or Tyreek.
No, he's a quitter.
No, not anymore.
Did you see that clip? So for anyone this offseason, I'm going to tell you right now before we get to Dan. We are going to be talking about wide receiver acquisitions. I am going to put out that if anyone brings up bringing Tyreek Hill in, they're going to be banned from the show. Yes.
Yeah.
That dude, anybody that wants any piece of him, we don't want him anywhere near anything G&G. Ever. Ever.
He's really fast.
Watch that clip. He just, oh, I'm out. I'm out. And that's not even all the other stuff that happened.
Correct.
Remember, Jesse, I gave you a lot of grief because you're ripping him on the radio and you draft him in a second round of fantasy football.
I did. Yeah, that happened. Yep. Still statistically a decent wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a bad look. There's no two ways about it. All right, let's get to Dan and Brother Town. Dan,
I'm out.
Any
bro.
Part of him? None.
He's a me guy.
Have I made myself clear?
No. Would you like to continue to tell us how you're out on it?
Pro Malik, not Tyreek.
That's fair. Okay.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Wasn't sure we were going to get to you there.
That's all right.
Are you a big Tyreek Hill fan?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Couldn't play for the Mark Phoenix.
No interest.
Right. Not good
no
for the
interest Christian. At all. I don't care how fast and great you are. Like, I would have never wanted him from the jump, and I certainly don't want him now. Yeah. Certain.
He is the first exception to the talent outs rule of Denny Tauscher, right? Like, at least on this show.
I don't even know how talented. I mean, he's still fast. There's sometimes you just got to be.
He had a 2,000-yard season last year.
I don't care.
I agree.
He's done. I'm out.
All right. Well, he's
me,
done.
Me, you, and Dan. Me, you, and Dan at Brothertown. We're all on the same page. That's fun when we're all on the same page.
Now let's see if we're on the same page with trivia. Tausch, are you participating in this, or do you need me to take it?
Yeah, of course. I'm a team guy.
I don't know why I would think
of
that. Dan,
did you have something you wanted to... It seems like you wanted to jump in before we give you a first question.
No, I just absolutely agree with you about Tyreek Hill. These are the kind of guys that are happy when they get the ball, and when they don't, they're a poison.
Poison. No, great band.
Couldn't agree more. Good band. Which TV band. Network is again providing fans an alternative viewing experience for the Chargers-Texans wildcard game on Saturday? Is it Nickelodeon, Discovery, or Food Network?
I'm going with Nickelodeon.
Boy, Jesse loves the slime time games, doesn't he? He's
That's
a big fan.
One of
I do. Saturday this year.
I think he secretly is hoping that he ends up getting an opportunity at some way to kind of sneak through and get in one of those broadcasts.
If I got to call my first NFL game with SpongeBob and Patrick, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, too bad your dad wasn't.
You know what I'd like,
Kevin
Jesse?
Harlan.
Is there any way? I don't know what your weekend holds. What about you and Mom doing a Nelson's Only Nickelodeon cast? Like, how fun would that be?
Who's doing the graphics?
No, we're not going to do that.
They're just doing it like we do players. We did a couple players only. Jesse just does
it. You want me to do a Nelson's Only sidecast and have my dad and my mom and Becca. Just
whoever.
A whole
Absolutely,
family
Absolutely, the whole
affair.
Crew. Becca, the whole crew.
Yeah, that would really pack in the viewers. Question two, Dan.
Jeez. You are.
It's a little rude.
Harsh.
I mean, I don't want to do it, but that was kind of mean.
trying to stay on the clock. Which of these NFC wildcard matchups
that you're concerned about
is not...
What have you ever been concerned about the clock?
Every time I don't do a show with you, which is fairly frequently. Which
funny,
one of
I was
these...
listening to you at Balaga. You guys almost ran out of clock last week, too.
So
don't put this on old T, long-winded Wildy.
I love the fact that Cody in the YouTube comments, Wildy and Tausch are like a couple of old married people. Yeah, it's fair. I got no comeback to that. Dan, question two. Let me try this again. Is this, which of these NFC wildcard matchups is not a rematch of a game played in week one of the 2024 season? Packers-Eagles? Commanders-Buccaneers? Or Vikings-Rams? Which one is not a week one rematch?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to go with Vikings.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Nailed it.
Oh, got it.
Last time the Vikings lost before last week was that game against the Rams, probably in late September, early October. Good little matchup. All right, Dan. Which of these teams remaining in the college football playoff has gone the longest since winning its most recent national championship? Is it Notre Dame, Texas, Penn State? Good question.
Wow. Okay, Texas won one. Penn State, Notre Dame. Wow, that's tough.
Yep.
Penn State, the day went one after Notre Dame. I'm going to go Notre Dame. Was the one that
Notre Dame last won in 1988.
Penn State 86.
That is correct.
Oh. I knew
86.
It was
remember watching that game. Yeah, picked off Vinny Testaverde and the Miami Hurricanes down in the Orange Bowl to clinch that W back in 86.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Dan. Tausch, how many national championships?
Kuki Zorich.
Oh boy.
With the, Chris Zorich?
Notre Dame squad.
That was his nickname? Pookie?
Kuki Zorich, yep.
Kuki?
Kuki.
I thought his name was... Okay. How
it
many
was
more
Chris,
of the...
but they called him Kuki.
Like, C I didn't is know for Kuki?
It's good
something
enough
like
for me.
I don't know if he's a big Sesame Street fan. I don't know. I didn't get into it.
So
you can do
you
that
rattle?
A Great Day in Huddle. Jesse, you can ask Coach.
Oh, I should play some of that stuff for you guys.
Well, maybe in the 11 o'clock hour if we ever get to it. How many of the 80s national championships can you name? Because you just did that. You did 88, you did 86. Can you, like, rattle them all off?
I thought we were up against the clock. Nope. What happened here?
Matter of fact, I think Oklahoma won it one year. I don't know. I could not know, Jason, to answer your question.
Just curious.
Just remember those teams because that was kind of when I started really loving football.
Dan, you got 2 out of 3, which ain't bad. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries into tomorrow's drawing. We'll keep cheering for the Phoenix on your behalf. Thanks for playing, buddy.
Thank you very much, you guys. It's been a pleasure. You take care.
You too.
And be good.
I love you guys.
That is it for the 10 o'clock hour. The 11 o'clock hour kicks off in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.